We're about to talk to author and journalist Michael Olesker, whose newest book, by the way, is Front Stoops in the 50s, Baltimore Legends Come of Age, to reflect again on John F. Kennedy's assassination and that moment and what it's meant for all of us. And Michael, good to talk to you. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, Michael, where were you on that day? And what happened on that day with you, for you, to you?
I was on my way to a phys ed lecture that was required for all freshmen at the University of Maryland in College Park. I was walking through Cole Field House. I got to class. I heard a couple of classmates talking about a shooting, Kennedy, and it just seemed incomprehensible that the two would be connected. And then it was just early reports. Nobody knew how bad it was. And then the instructor walked into the class. His name was Fluke, and he stood there and in the most sneering tone of voice said, "I've got a lecture to deliver. Everybody just sit there, and when I'm done, then you can find out whether or not the president's dead."
Good Lord.
Good Lord. And we sat there like sheep when we should have punched the hell out of him. We sat there like sheep because this was really our last moment of innocence. We had been raised to respect authority figures. He was an authority figure. It was a much more innocent time. And this, in my mind, has always been the last moment of the 1950s. This was the beginning now of the 60s, a much more combative and convulsive era in America. And it began with the killing of John Kennedy. And I think that, you know, when people say what would have been different, I think everything would have been different in America, because the primary thing that divided the country back then, there were a number of things. Race certainly was a very big one. But in the 60s, the war in Vietnam caused the country to choose up sides against itself. And I think that everything I've read indicated that John Kennedy wanted to get out of Vietnam as soon as the 64 elections were over. Lyndon Johnson, of course, got us deeper and deeper until there were 50,000 American kids who lost their lives, thousands more who lost limbs, thousands more who came home drug addicted, to say nothing of hundreds of thousands and maybe more Vietnamese who were killed and maimed. But if you think not just about the convulsions that this caused in America to fight that war, but think of all the billions of dollars that went into it, which, if we were not fighting that war, might have gone into the salvation of American cities, that might have gone into building new schools, into rehabilitating deteriorating neighborhoods, into working on all kinds of economic and social problems here at home that we were distracted from because of that war in Vietnam.
So you see that even though the President John F. Kennedy was the man who sent the first huge bunch of 18,000 advisors, special forces, to Vietnam, you think we would have been different if he had stayed alive?
Everything that I have read from people who were close to him says that he realized that this was a no-win situation. He had been to Vietnam before the war began there, before the American involvement, and saw that this was non-winnable, and that after the election, which was just a year away, he was ready to pull American troops out.
And I'm curious, you know, I mean, you thought deeply about things like this and have written a great deal. What effect did it have on you as you grew in that period?
I think what happened to me and a lot of my friends was Kennedy, from the moment we heard his inauguration speech and those stirring words about the "ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country," I think he touched off the spark of idealism in a generation. And what happened with his death and then with the assassinations of Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy and Malcolm X was a death of idealism, and the birth of a new kind of cynicism. And I think that what happened 50 years ago really set off that cynicism and that loss of idealism.
Do you think it's affected generations to come, like your kids and people younger than that?
Absolutely. I think that that Kennedy first imbued with us not only a sense of idealism, but an interest in politics that had never been there before, because it was the simultaneous birth of television, and he understood that in ways that neither Eisenhower nor any of his predecessors understood nor could have, because for a lot of those years there was no television. Kennedy not only understood what Eisenhower didn't, but embraced it. Eisenhower didn't want television cameras at his press conferences. Kennedy welcomed it. He was smart. He was handsome. He was witty. And we began to see more of him and his wife and children than we had ever seen of any previous president. It was the first marriage of politics and show business, if you will. And so we felt as if we knew him with a greater intimacy than we had known any previous president. We felt we knew him better. And so it was a much more personal thing. We felt like we were losing somebody who we knew. And that was a real body blow.
Michael Lesker, thank you so much for your time and your reflections.
Mark, thank you for having me.